Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. And then we're going to focus on verse number 11. We'll read several verses, but we will focus on verse 11 for the message this morning. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. If you'll stand, if you are able for the reading of the Bible, Romans chapter number 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, bless the preaching of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you use this message to encourage, dear God, the saints of the Lord. And if there is someone here that has not received Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that you'd work in their heart very specifically, very pointedly, very tenderly, very lovingly. And Lord, bring them that point of repentance. And Lord, help them to receive Christ today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you again for standing. You may be seated. I'm going to entitle the message very simply, two words here, not ashamed, not ashamed. I think from time to time a preacher needs to get up and kind of blow the trumpet on this, because folks, we're not just here to preach the gospel. We're not just here in hopes that folks will get saved. We're here also to grow Christians to the point where they are willing, think about this, when they are willing to be bold in their faith. Bold in their faith, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, the world is bold in their wickedness.
Yes.
And the world, a lot of times, will try to belittle Christians and try to keep you from feeling like you're able to stand up or speak up. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus told us this. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you're truly saved, you know what? You've got to get past that point of being ashamed of the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm not really ashamed of the Lord. I get that, but sometimes that fear of man bringeth a snare. And sometimes, you know, we're so concerned about what people around us are going to say about us, or people around us are going to think about us. And folks, you got to get past that in your Christian life.
Yes.
You know, there's only one person's opinion that needs to matter, and that is God's opinion. And you know, we studied in our Sunday school hour where Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. And boy, I just stopped right in the middle of our Sunday school hour and said, folks, hard stop here. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, isn't that the goal? All I ask to be like him. And if Jesus said, you know what, my goal, my desire, every day, I do always those things that please him, then maybe if we get more concerned about what pleases the Lord and stop worrying about what people think, we can step out of the shadows and become bold in our faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to get to the point where you're not ashamed. You're not ashamed to speak up for the Lord. You're not ashamed to share your testimony. You're not ashamed if somebody pokes a little fun at you for going to church, or, you know, calls you some names and all of that. Just turn around and give them the biggest smile ever and say, yes, and my life's better for it, and yours, your life would be better for it too. And folks, the world, honestly, think about this, doesn't know what to do with a bold Christian. And so many times their experience with Christians is you just poke at them a little bit and they shut down. And so they really don't know what to do with a bold Christian. You teenagers, I want to tell you this, the world doesn't know. And other teenagers don't know what to do with a bold Christian teenager. And you know, as a teenager, it's not always easy, but I will tell you this, we've done it a lot at our youth rallies here. Back when we did youth revivals, and we still do those from time to time, public school revivals, we've done one of those not that long ago. But one of the things I always include on the program is some of our kids getting up and giving their testimony and speaking up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll be at the back, and I promise you, you know what, we'll be doing the games, or we'll be singing, or we'll be making announcements, and you know what, maybe a few kids are not misbehaving, but talking and maybe not paying attention. You watch another teenager walk up here. And I've always stood back there, and I'd say sometimes to somebody, watch the crowd right now. And another teenager comes up here and stands up with a smile on their face. Come on, the joy of God in their heart. And are not ashamed to speak up for Jesus Christ. The whole place goes quiet. You know why? Because they're not used to that. They don't see that very often. Come on, they see a lot of Christians that, you know, every time they're pushed out a little bit, they bow their head and they back up and they mutter an excuse. And hey, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And I just got to the point in my Christian life where I just said, you know what? I'm not going to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be ashamed of being a Christian. You know what? If the subject comes up, I'm just going to stick my head up and say, yep, that's me. All right. You know what? Well, folks, they make fun of me. Well, you know what? Did you see what they did to Jesus? Okay. What did you expect? He said, the world hated me. Don't you think they're going to hate you? And he was like, hey, get over it. That comes with it. You're not always going to be liked. You're not always going to be well spoken of. You are going to be ridiculed sometimes. But I'm going to tell you something. Your testimony, I'm talking about the person that sometimes gives you the most grief. You don't know what God's doing in their heart. And why does it bother them so much that you're a Christian? Probably because God's working in their heart. He's stirring some things up. So you know what? Just keep a smile on your face and just keep answering back. And you know what? You can speak the truth in love, but you can speak the truth boldly in love also. And so just decide, you know what? I'm not going to live my life being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed that I'm saved. I am. There's some things I decided I'm not ashamed of. Okay? If there's something that I am and I should be ashamed of it, then I should stop being that. Okay? Well, I'm not ashamed of being a Christian because that's a good thing. Now, I got to confess some things, and some of you that are, you know, haven't heard this before, maybe haven't been coming a long time, but every once in a while I publicly confess some sin. But I am a Chicago Bears football fan, all right? Life has not been easy, I'm just telling you. It has not been a good last four decades, all right? I'm not lying to you. It's been across the bear. But I'm a Bears fan. I'm a Bears fan, you know what? And it's painful, but I'm a Bears fan, all right? We always lose, but I'm a Bears fan. Even if it looks like we're going to win and there's 3 minutes left, I just look around and say, watch this. Because they're going to find a way to lose the game. But that comes, I'm a Bears fan. Well, my in-laws lived up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin for years. Now, we moved them down here, and Cheryl still cares for her mom. But for years, every Thanksgiving, we'd go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and we'd visit her folks, and we'd always go Thanksgiving. So, you know, as a son-in-law, I figured out something, okay? Are you listening? As a son-in-law, I figured out something. My job was to bring their daughter and their grandchildren to see them. And so my job was to drive them up there, and then say hi, and then go stand in a corner, and then 3 days later, transport them back. And that's really what my job was. So I would get bored quick, because they really didn't want to see me anyway. But I would always secretly pack my Chicago Bears jacket. And I mean, it had on the back of it a bear's head about that big on the back of the jacket. Had Chicago Bears written across the front. And I would tell Cheryl, you know, Oshkosh isn't that far from Green Bay. So I said, you know, I think I'm going to go shopping on Black Friday. And she's like, you never go shopping on Black Friday. Well, you know, there's a first time. I'm trying to expand my horizons. I'm trying to stretch myself, learn new things. She's like, what are you up to? No, I'm not up to anything. I'm just going to go up to Green Bay. And she says, you have your Bears jacket, don't you? I said, woman, mind your own business, all right? Stay here and visit with your family, and I'm just taking a little trip. And I would go up there. They had outlet malls up there, and I would walk around the outlet malls with my Chicago Bears jacket on. Now, folks, those of you who know nothing about football, you have no clue, okay? But probably one of the oldest rivalries in any sport, any professional sport, is the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. And by the way, you know what? They hate us. And that's okay, because we hate them back even more viciously than they can possibly hate us. And so you can imagine me showing up, and why? Just to start something, all right? I would get so many reactions. I would have people screaming at me. I would have people calling me names. I would have people saying things that I certainly can't repeat from a pulpit. And I went to this one store, and I had my jacket on, went to buy something, and I sat on the counter, and the woman, from the time I walked in, she just glared at me the whole time. And she said, when it put it out, she said, I'm not, I said, I'd like to buy this. And she just stared at me. I'd like to buy this. And she just stared at me. And she said, if you take the jacket off, then I'll ring you up. Come on, Brother Tony, it's on now. Okay, I'm going to let some little four-foot woman intimidate me, you know. So, and I said, well, I ain't taking the jacket off, and it's your job to ring me up, so you ring me up. You know, we're having some fun. She said, I'm not ringing you up. I said, I want to see the manager. She went and got the manager. He walked out with a Green Bay Packer shirt on. I just looked at him and said, have a nice day, and I just left, you know. I wasn't going to win that. Now, it's amazing to me how bold we can be in our support of some kind of a team. Right. Yeah. And yet, as Christians, folks, are you kidding me? Come on, yeah. We should be more bold and never apologize for being a Christian and never be ashamed of it. You know, you think about the first thing that the Lord asks us to do after we get saved. Let's talk about that a minute, okay? First step, we call it the first step of obedience. Sometimes people say, what's baptism all about? Well, baptism isn't a part of salvation. Baptism is the first step of obedience for someone who has received Christ as their personal Savior. And we do have a nursery, if that help you out, sis, all right? All right, that's not a problem. You want me to hold him? I'm pretty good with babies. I promise you, once he's held by a pawpaw, he's going to be fine. I promise you. Right? We got the magic. We know what we're doing here. You're fine. I just thought I'd offer. We do have a nursery. They'll take good care of him back there. But, you know, the first step of obedience for a Christian, think about what God said to do. The first step of obedience for a Christian is to be baptized. Now, think about that. If you really think, well, why would God have us do something like that? By the way, it's very symbolic. There's meaning in it. Okay? But you also think about that. What is the meaning, preacher? It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It's you publicly associating yourself and publicly professing that you now believe the gospel and you are saved. Now think about this. Here's salvation, which is a very personal and private thing. It happens in your heart. You can do it. You can get saved in your bedroom. You can get saved in your backyard. Yep. You can get saved because God's everywhere. Yes, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's very a personal and private thing. And yet the first thing God says is, all right, now I want you to be baptized, which, by the way, is a very public thing. Yes. So why would God do that? Because God does not want a new believer to hide the fact that they have been saved. Yes. Right. He wants you to learn to not be ashamed. Good. To not be ashamed. I had a missionary friend that for years served as a missionary in Russia. And we went to Bible college together. We're good friends. Our church supported him for the time that he was over there. But he went over there on a survey trip as they were preparing to go, him and his wife, just to check out where they were going and learn the culture a little bit and make some contacts with other missionaries. So he attended a church that was pastored by an American missionary. And they had seen several Russian people come to Christ. Matter of fact, he showed up on a Sunday when they were having baptism. Now, folks, we are blessed to have a baptism here in the church, but that little startup church didn't have a baptism, and it was cold out. But the people that were getting baptized sat on the front rows, and you know what? During the message, he explained baptism. He told the folks why they were being baptized, and he told the folks what baptism was and what it was not. And after that, he said, now those on the front, several on this side, several on this side, if you'll follow me, we're going to leave and go outside the church and then down the main street of the town to the river. And I'd like the congregation to follow them. He took his Bible. Dave said, I'm sitting there watching this. He's thinking, it's cold out there. He took his Bible. He went down the center aisle. Those new converts followed him behind. They walked right down the center of town. everybody in town saw that they were heading down to get baptized, he publicly baptized them in a river outside of town. And so Dave was sitting back there with one of the missionary sons, was a teenager, and it was cold. You could tell it was cold. But they wanted to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And, you know, Dave kind of kiddingly said to the missionary son, he said, if I come to Russia, let me tell you this, first thing I'm building is an indoor baptistry. And he was kidding with him, you know. And so the Russian guy that was beside the missionary son, there was a Russian man that attended the church, and he asked the missionary son what David said, and he kind of told him what he had said. And he'd never pondered the idea. And by the way, I'm not preaching against indoor baptistries, all right? If you get baptized in January at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're going to be glad we have one, okay? But the Russian man couldn't comprehend an indoor baptistry. And so he just pondered that. And then he leaned over and said this in Russian to the missionary son. Well, I don't understand. Why would you want to hide it? Why would you want to hide it? Now, again, folks, I got baptized in a creek. You may have been baptized in a baptistry. If you're baptized in a baptistry this morning, you got a lot of people that are watching you get baptized. It is a very public thing still. But that Russian Christian couldn't understand the concept of an indoor baptistry because to him, the whole community ought to see that you are a Christian. That's pretty powerful, folks. I'm not ashamed that I'm saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? You're ready for heaven? You go back and point to a day and a moment. Listen, you may not know the exact date or the exact time, but in your mind, you can go back to a place and say, preacher, I was under conviction of sin. I understood the gospel. The Holy Spirit was working in my heart, and I called out in faith, believing only in Jesus, his death for my sins, his burial, his resurrection. Preacher, I can go back in my mind and I can find that place in my life. Folks, then you know what? You're saved. But you should not be ashamed of it. You should not be ashamed of it. So I'm not going to be ashamed that I'm saved. Let me share this with you. Number two, I'm not ashamed to share the gospel. I'm not ashamed to share the gospel. You're in Romans, so let's go to Romans chapter number one. Romans chapter number one. If you will, look at verse number 14. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14. I'm not ashamed that I'm saved, and I'm not ashamed to share the gospel. Romans chapter 1 verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Watch this, folks. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not only am I not ashamed, but I'm not ashamed that I'm saved. I'm not ashamed to share the gospel. And I think we need to get to that point. I think inside the heart of every new believer, God puts a burden and a desire to see other people saved. How many times have I seen a person get saved and with a few minutes after salvation, they begin to express concern about their parents or concerned about a brother or concerned about their spouse or concerned about their children. I think the natural thing once you get saved is to want other people to be saved. And so listen to me. I think in every single life, every single heart of a Christian, you have to grow to the point where you can, are able to, and willing to share your salvation testimony and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. I mentioned what we're going to do on April 11th, and I'm going to promise you, I don't care where you are, whether you're a new convert, you're new into church, I don't care where you are in your Christian growth or you feel like your abilities are, there's some place that we're going to be able to plug you in, and it would be a great first experience for some of you to get involved in different ways to go out and share your faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll talk y'all all about that tonight. But I remember when I as a young man and had been saved for a while and I remember God began to work in my heart. Come on, I attended a public school and I'd ride on the bus and I began to look around at the kids on the bus, and because I was a Christian, I began to get concerned about them. And I began to think, you know what, how many of these kids, if they die, they're going to go to hell. And God began to stir my heart, even in my youth. Even I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do about it. And I remember going to talk to my preacher, and he gave me a bunch of chick tracks. There's some of them in the track rack back there. And the gospel track is told in different little stories, and it's in kind of a comic book form so that kids will read them, you know. And he said, take these out and just give them to your friends. And I've started giving them to my friends on the bus and my friends at school. And pretty soon they would come to me at recess a couple days later and say, hey, you have any more of those little comic things? And they would want more. And I'd go back and the preacher would give me a different kind. And I'd pass them out. And here they come again. And you know what, folks, listen to me. Yeah, I didn't know how to take the Bible and lead someone to Christ. No, I really wasn't probably at the point where I could even verbally share my salvation experience. I maybe should have been, but I wasn't. But man, I can pass a track out. I can give the gospel out somehow, some way to people. And I just remember as I began to go through the growth process. And listen, I'm not mad at anybody. You say, preacher, good night. The idea, you know, some of you go out knocking on doors. I keep hearing about that. And then you witness to people at the door. And some of the guys are telling stories about how they are witnessing to people at work. And I just don't know if I'm there yet. That's all right. There was a point in time I wasn't there. But the desire in your heart to do it ought to be there. And it's like anything else, we got to kind of grow into and grow in grace and learn. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a great experience just to be able to get your feet a little bit wet. Come on, April 11th, each one reach one. Sounds like you're promoting April 11th. Yeah, it's kind of a plan. All right. April 11th, each one reach one. I want everybody to get involved in that. You're going to have great opportunities to do that. You say, preacher, where did you kind of turn the corner on this, where you decided that, you know what, you weren't going to let what people think matter anymore? I can take you almost to the moment. But Jack and Penny Gordon was the youth leaders at our church at that time, and I was a teenager. God bless them. I was a teenager. I mean, the only one that was meaner than me in the youth group was Darcy Mowry, but, you know, only person meaner than me, Darcy Mowry right back there. So, but no, that's not true. That is not true. But and some of you look mad at me. Darcy's got too many fans around here. Let me go back to picking on AJ here. Everybody seemed to enjoy that, you know. So we went down to a winter retreat down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Ron Comfort, who has been here to preach. You pray for Brother Comfort, okay? He's not able to travel much anymore. His health has really taken a downward spiral. But boy, he's still got a heart that burns for God. I talk to him from time to time. But he got up and preached a message, listen to what I'm going to say here, on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he took all of what Christ went through from the time he was arrested till the time he breathed his last breath and gave up the ghost. And he went through and described everything that he went through in a way that I'd never heard it before. Or maybe I had, but I wasn't paying attention. And all I know is God, almost like he scrolled back the heavens. And I didn't see some vision, but in my heart and in my mind, I watched my Savior suffering for me. And I thought to myself, he wasn't ashamed to die for my sins that day. Why would I ever be ashamed to tell people what he did? And I'm going to tell you, I was a 16-year-old boy. Invitation time came, and I got down to the front and knelt at an altar. And I just told God, I'm done with this. I'm done with apologizing for being a Christian. I'm done with this nonsense of, listen, I had to come to a point where I was ashamed of being ashamed. Okay? Shame on me. Shame on, listen, I understand new Christian. I understand growth in grace. I understand it takes a while. But you all got to come to the same place at some point. Shame on me for being ashamed. He wasn't ashamed to die for me. Why would I be ashamed to live for him? And so I just made that decision. I came back from that trip the next Thursday night. We didn't have anything called teen visitation or teen soul winning in those days. And so they had Thursday night men's visitation. And you know what I did? I got ready and walked out. And my dad was getting ready to leave. He said, where are you going? I said, with you. That's okay. And a big smile came on his face. And I came down here and walked in the door. First teenager. I'm going to tell you this. First teenager ever to show up for soul winning at Blessed Hope Baptist Church was Jerry Ross. Okay, now we take our kids out every single week. Part of our youth ministry program is to get these kids out there and train them from a very young age to know how to share the gospel and not be ashamed of Jesus. not be ashamed of Jesus. From that day forward, folks, you can track my life. I'm not saying that I've done enough. I'm not saying I've done it as well as I should have. But from the minute I've made that decision to now, I have not been ashamed to share the gospel. And I do it every single week of my life. And you know what, folks? That ought to be a part of the Christian life. Do not be ashamed to share the gospel. How about Mark chapter 8? We're going to move around our Bibles a little bit. Mark chapter 8 tells us there's something else we should not be ashamed of. In Mark chapter 8, you get to the end of the chapter, verse 34 through 38. Mark chapter 8. I'm not ashamed that I'm saved. I'm not ashamed to share the gospel. And there's something else I'm not ashamed of. I'm not going to be ashamed of the Word of God. The Word of God. Verse 34, when he had called the people unto him, Mark 8:34, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Notice verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of me and of my words. In this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He said, I don't want you to just not be ashamed of me. I don't want you to be ashamed of my words. And I will tell you this, no young person in this world ought to be ashamed to carry their Bible anywhere. No Christian ought to be ashamed to carry your Bible anywhere. We encourage our school kids and our bus kids that attend public school. We encourage you, take your Bible to school with you. You say, preacher, are you serious? Yeah, and I don't mean hide it in your backpack all day. Take your Bible. Don't be afraid to carry your Bible. All through the years, I've watched different young people take that challenge. By the way, we have two people out this Sunday. Josh and Don Davis is with the Napu Noahs over in Rock Island, Illinois. Isaac and Laura Walton is with Jonathan Ross down in Madison, Alabama. But just a week ago, you know what? One of the people in our church, let's see, the Kleins, you went and seen Jesse and Heather McCammon. Now, folks, Jesse and Heather are bus kids that are now in the ministry. They rode on a bus. Mom and Dad didn't bring them to church. They rode a bus to church. And you know what? I preached a message like I'm preaching today. And you know what Heather did? She said, you know what? I'm not going to pretend that I'm not a Christian during the week at the school and then dress up and act like a Christian on Sunday. If I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be a Christian all the time. Okay, that's not her mom saying she had to do it. That's not her dad saying she had to do it. That was a decision in that girl's heart that I need to be a witness, an example to my public school. So she started going over here to Duggar School and she started dressing like a Christian and carrying her Bible every day to church, to school with her. Hey, you young people go to the public school. What do you think happened to that girl? Yeah, not everybody applauded it. Some people did, though. But a lot of people picked on her. And a lot of people gave her a hard time for it. And you know what, folks? Listen to me. Are you going to fold like a lawn chair every time somebody puts a little pressure on you? Are you going to stand up for Jesus? If you're a Christian, don't be ashamed of it. So she carried her Bible. She dressed like a Christian, act like a Christian, pray before she ate at lunch, pass out gospel tracts. And don't come to me and say, you know, that's not legal to do that. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, you can't pray in a public school. Any young person can pray in a public school. Any young people can pray in a public school. You pray for lunch at the public school and a principal or teacher gives you a hard time, you come find me, I'll go find them. All right. You hear that? I have done it before. Guess what? They apologize. And guess what? They leave our kids alone. Because they shouldn't be persecuted. Persecuted. Imagine, it's amazing what they want us to tolerate amongst the student body, but what they won't, they are intolerant towards when it comes to Christians. And so, you know what? They start giving her a hard time. Well, guess what? Jesse McCammon was at the church then, going to the church. By the way, they weren't even a thing then. But he attended the bus, came to bus to church. She came to bus to our church. And Jesse saw them picking on her and said, well, that's not right. And so he told me what was happening. And I said, well, what are you going to do about it? And he said, I don't know. I'm going to do something. I thought, he's going to punch somebody in the nose, you know. And I didn't tell him to do that. I didn't tell him not to do it, but I didn't tell him to do that. And so all of a sudden, I heard what happened later. You know what he did? He said, well, you know what? They're putting all the focus on her. I'll just give them somebody else they can put the focus on. He, Monday morning, got up, put on his slacks and his white shirt and his tie and got his Bible. And you know, his entire junior year and his entire senior year, and I never told him to do this. I've never told one of our bus kids to do this. But he put a white shirt on, a tie, and wore a pair of slacks and carried his Bible for two solid years going to a public school, publicly professing his faith in Christ, publicly witnessing to those around him, praying with a whole group. By the way, a couple of Christians get bold. You'd be surprised what that does for the other Christians. Pretty soon they had a whole table. Come on now. Are you listening to me? Of people, and people that would come to them when they had problems and were seeking answers, and they had an influence in their public school for Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm not going to be ashamed of this. We had a young lady one time that heard me say that she could bring her Bible and should bring her Bible to public school, and she brought it to her public school, and the kids were giving her a hard time about it, and she just kept doing it. One of them swiped her Bible when she wasn't looking. She found it in the front yard of the school, every page ripped out of it, scattered all over the front yard of the public school. She came back to me in tears, and she said, Pastor, this is what happened. I said, you hold on. I went back, got her a brand new Bible, and I said, you bring that one tomorrow. What if they tear it up again? I said, I got a whole stack of them back there. She showed up with a new Bible, and you know what? After that, they left her alone. You know, the world just wants to see what it's going to take to back you up, to quiet you down. And you know what? As a Christian, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. We don't have anything to apologize for. Matter of fact, shame on them for not accepting Jesus Christ as theirs. Shame on them for trotting underfoot the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They're the ones that ought to be ashamed of themselves. And I was so proud of that little girl because here she came. And I mean, folks, can you imagine that? You know, I'm looking for my Bible. Who took my Bible? And finally the word got out. You better go look at in the front yard and scatter all in the ditch, all over the yard. Somebody, that didn't happen in some communist country. That happened right here in this county. But I'm thankful that that girl had the guts to stick with it. So, you know what? Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Which leads me to the next thought. Let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 4. And this is where we'll finish the message. 1 Peter chapter number 4. We shouldn't be ashamed that you're saved. I'm not ashamed that I'm saved. I'm not ashamed to share the gospel. I'm not going to be ashamed of my Bible. I'm not going to be ashamed of the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12, 1 Peter 4, verse number 12. Do not be ashamed to take persecution. Do not be ashamed to take persecution. In 1 Peter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Don't think it's strange, young people, if God allows you to go through a fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, he suffered, so why do you think it's strange that we got to suffer from time to time? Number four, verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be what? Ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf. And folks, one of the things that I love to see, and I think some of the bravest things, I want to encourage our young people a little bit tonight, and us adults sometimes, you know, we want the teens to learn from us. You know, there's times we can learn from teens. And I will tell you, if I was to list the 10 bravest things I've ever seen a Christian do, 8 of them was done by teenagers. Come on. It'd be a shame if We set the example as adults that once you get to a certain age, it's okay to be ashamed. It's okay to not witness. It's okay to not go soul winning. It's okay to not carry your Bible where you ought to. Hey, I worked the docks of Chicago for United Parcel Service, loading semi-trucks for 6 years in a row. And every night I walked in there where we put our stuff at the main desk there, where everybody gathered for the meeting, I set down my King James Bible there. I wanted to send a clear message. I worked with a bunch of hard cases, blasphemous men, some of them. And I heard everything you could hear, but you know what? I just smile and say, you know what? 10 seconds after you die, you're going to be sorry that you're me, and I'm going to be glad that you're going to be sorry that you're you, and I'm going to be glad that I'm me. And by the way, how's life going without Jesus? Come on, folks. We got to stand up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Had a young lady, and by the way, my years up in Chicago, and you hear me say talk about it, but for 6 years, you know, I did inner city Chicago, ghetto Chicago work for the Lord every Saturday, every Sunday for 6 years of my life, hardly without missing a weekend. And folks, I've watched those kids. Let me tell you something. When a kid gets saved up there and they go public with their salvation, you think it's rough around here? I'm going to tell you, I was so amazed and challenged by the courage of those young teenagers as they embraced Christ and decided to carry their faith into their family and into their public school and into their community. One of the young ladies that we saw blossom and really begin to grow in the Lord, we challenged her and got her reading her Bible. Come on, and got her into a daily reading, Bible reading program, taught her a program and taught her to how to have a prayer life. And she began to grow in the Lord, and she began to be bold in her faith. She began to be persecuted for it. Summertime finally came, and I wanted her to go to church camp. And so I told her, I said, listen, we're going to raise some money. I want you to go to church camp. I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, I think you can. Let me talk to your mom. Let me talk to your dad. You need to go to church camp. It'll do good for you. Now, don't miss this story. I wasn't taking her to church camp. I wasn't part of the church camp. I just raised the money so she could go. So she went to church camp. And then when she came back, some of the workers that had gone to church camp kept stopping me in the hallway of the college and saying, hey, you're not going to believe what your bus kid did. And I'm thinking, is this good? Is this bad? What did she do? I said, what'd she do? We're not telling. You got to ask her. Hey, you're not going to believe what your bus kid. Name was Lydia. By the way, she ends up as a missionary on the mission field. She'd been on the mission field for just over 30 years now. Married a mission. Went to Bible college. Married a mission. Where did all that start, preacher? So I go to her house that Saturday and I knock on her door. First place I go. And she comes to the door. Hi, Brother Jerry. What did you do? I said, what'd you do? That's all I've heard of for a week. You're not going to believe what you did. What? So I said, come out here, sit on the step. What did you do? And she said, well, we went to this church camp. And she said, it was actually two camps. You pull in the driveway, there was a camp over here, and there was another camp over here. And this one was like a Girl Scouts camp. And over here was our church camp. We rented out this side. But she said, every night I would hear a message, and they kept challenging us and about not being ashamed of being a Christian, about the need to witness and the need to share the gospel. And she said, as I'd walk back, there was a big ravine between the two camps that I would stand on the edge of the ravine and I'd listen to those girls and I could see them as they're coming going into their dormitories. And I'd think, does any of them know Jesus? And she said, God just kept burdening my heart. And she said, the last night I walked back to my dorm and I just couldn't go in. So she, and by the way, if Lydia was standing here, she's about this tall, okay? So she said, I walked down the ravine and I climbed back up the other side and I went to the next nearest dormitory and there was about 40 young ladies in it and some counselors and I knocked on the back door. Can you imagine the counselors at a Girl Scout camp and all the kids are in there and the girls are wild and they're having a great time. None of them want to go to bed. All of a sudden they hear this. And they open it up, and there's this little Mexican girl about this tall standing there smiling and saying, hi. And they said, are you lost? And she said, no. She said, I saw your girls. I've been watching them across the ravine. We're over there. Do you think I could, before they go to bed, could I tell them a story? Are you listening to me? Okay, this isn't a 28-year-old girl. This isn't a missionary's wife. This is a little 14-year-old bus girl. The lady said, sure, come in. So she came in, and all the girls start throwing their pillows and some of the mattresses on the floor, and they all got in a circle, and she got up and started talking about how her family had moved from Mexico and came to America and how hard that was to make the adjustments, and she didn't know the language. And then there was a day that somebody knocked on her door and invited her to the church, and she heard the gospel, and she talked about how she got saved. And as she was talking about what God had done to change her life, tears started rolling down her face. And she said, I kept looking across, wondering, has anybody ever told them about Jesus? I wonder if any of you have ever been told what somebody told me. And so I want to tell you, the Christian life is the greatest thing in the world. It's so good to be able to lay my head on my pillow at night and know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. And if you don't know that, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how. Is that okay if I do that? And all the girls are going like this, and the counselors are going like this. And she shared the gospel with them. And she said, I would love to pray with you. And if you'd like to receive Christ, would you pray together with me? And she said that entire group of girls huddled around her and prayed together and asked Christ to be their Savior. Whew. And all I'm hearing is, wait till you hear what your bus kid did. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen to me. I was so thankful for that little girl. But I left there so convicted in my heart. I thought if a little 14-year-old immigrant girl, come on, was willing to climb down a ravine and back up the other side, and the boldness it took for a little 14-year-old girl to knock on the door and walk in that type of environment and share her faith, and yet people receive Christ as their Savior? Whew. I remember walking away from her house saying this, you know what? So what if a little persecution comes? Come on. She was dealing with a lot of persecution living out her faith in Chicago. She took the risk that she would be laughed out of that dormitory. But you know what? That's not what happened. And as a result, I think we're going to see many of those young ladies that prayed that day in heaven one of these days. Folks, listen to me. All the message is basically two words. Not ashamed. Not ashamed. Not ashamed. That means you're either ashamed or you're not ashamed. But if you're saved, should you be ashamed? Then let's all get over here and let's go out and let's boldly share our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the example sometimes of those that we are ministering to. Here's a bus captain and one of his bus kids, and yet, Lord, her courage and her boldness to stand up for Jesus Christ, it challenged my heart. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we leave this place, all back in the foyer behind the information desk, there's all kinds of gospel tracts, all kinds of invite cards for some of the things that's coming up in the weeks ahead. All kinds of opportunities presented here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be involved in ministries where the people have an opportunity to share their faith in Christ. Lord, you suffered much for us. And the Bible talks about hanging on the cross and what a shameful death it is to die on a cross. And yet you suffered great shame for us. I pray, God, that no Christian here would be ashamed of you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just quickly ask this. Are you 100% sure? I mean, come on. I ask you to go back in your mind. Say, preacher, I was not able to find that place where I know 100% sure that I got saved. I just can't find it. You know what? You can do that today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. During the invitation, if you'll simply leave your pew, come to the near south, come up here to the front. Brother Brian has people trained and ready to be able to take the Bible and help you know how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hey, Christian, where are we at on this? Where are we at? Are you boldly sharing your faith in Christ? When somebody, come on, gives you a hard time, do you just kind of fold? Do you get quiet? Or do you just put a smile of victory on your face and say, you know what? Greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day that I got saved.
and I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Heavenly Father, please help us to be bold in our faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name.